I have a confession that I am not Lindsay Hills. And my love goes out to her and to all who are ill at this time or who are caring for those who are ill. But we are grateful for you who are here tonight in the pews and also you who are watching on live stream or the service afterwards to support Terry in her new ministry. One thing I have learned in the last couple of years is the meaning of the word pivot, as we all have, as we all try to adapt to every new thing that's thrown at us. And our readings tonight, and especially our gospel reading, speaks of having to pivot and bearing the consequences for that. And it reminded me of one of the books that you may also be familiar with from the Harry Potter series. At the beginning of the school year, those returning to Hogwarts are introduced to a new member of staff, Professor Dolores Umbridge, who addresses faculty and students with an illuminating speech about why she has come to teach. At first, she seems to praise adaptive change, for without progress, there will be stagnation and decay. But then she goes on to warn the following. Then again, progress for progress's sake must be discouraged, for our tried and tested traditions often require no tinkering. A balance, then, between old and new, between permanence and change, between tradition and innovation. Let us move forward, then, into a new era of openness, effectiveness, and accountability, intent on preserving what ought to be preserved, perfecting what needs to be perfected, and pruning wherever we find practices that ought to be prohibited. Most of her audience are bored or baffled or suspicious of her sermon, maybe of mine too. I'll tell you what it means, said Hermione ominously. It means the ministry's interfering. And the battle lines are soon drawn. Friends are set against one another through mistrust and misinformation. Only love and loyalty to the truth will bring them through the darkness of their lives. Change and conflict bring out the best and the worst in us. Today, the Anglican Church commemorates William Laud, Archbishop of Canterbury, from 1633 to when he was executed in 1645. So you know already how it ends. In the 12 years he was head of the church in England, he implemented a vast program of reform that was met by opposition from many sides. He preached against the pretended innovations in the church that he felt had been brought in by the Puritans. The majority party of the time wanted to purify the practices of believers. They had tried to simplify services in the old medieval churches by removing stone altars, stripping sanctuaries of decoration, and grouping participants around a forward wooden table to receive communion. I see here at St. John's you've hedged your bets. But these low church measures, unfortunately, also brought about inconvenience, irreverence, and not a little unpleasantness as people and animals jostled noisily in the services. Apparently that's why you needed warden's wands, to keep the livestock away. Laud sought to reverse these changes. He took the place of consecration back to an altar at the east end of the building. Sanctuaries were fenced in by a rail where people knelt to receive communion in a line. If he had stopped by rearranging the furniture, perhaps most would have accepted it. But his darned emphasis on reverence, it included customs like acknowledging the altar, bringing back candles and vestments and hangings that were beautiful, but also reminded churchgoers of the Roman church they'd broken away from. And as a result, the Puritans considered him just as vile an innovator. He's remembered for his emphasis on the beauty and the mystery of worship. But the way he went about his correctives in practice also led to a trial, imprisonment in the Tower of London, and eventually beheading. So that's cheerful news. And so we get, for this most delightful and joyous occasion of the celebration of new ministry, a text from Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. William Laud defended his disciplines as being for the good of the church, as being for the good of souls. And they enrich our tradition. But, O Terry, let this be a caution. Even when innovators are asked for, the implementation of their ideas is not always welcomed. Jesus speaks of the cost of discipleship for those who follow his way and don't give in to the majority, even to family ties or loyalty to a party or group. Change carries seeds of conflict, and conflict can be creative, and conflict can be destructive, as we all know. Our Anglican tradition has its share of innovators, people who have developed new methods, introduced changes, and brought about ideas of how to do things differently. From our struggles at the denominational level and the parish level, we've learned that how we do something is important as well as what we do. And parish leaders, both lay and ordained, are agents that help a community manage and adapt in healthy relationships. We are called to consult widely, to agree on a process for decisions, to inform as we implement, and to assess the results, both intended and unintended, of what we do. Never have we needed these gifts as much as we need them now. And as we rise to the challenge of collaborative and courageous action, we follow Christ's own way. He too was an innovator and labeled as trouble by those who did not see the value of what he was bringing back as well as bringing forward. But innovators are needed, and the church depends on them. Nurturing and growing healthy communities means finding ways for us to stay in dialogue, even when diverse voices threaten to turn against one another. A sword can be used to either sever ties or to cut through mistrust and misinformation to get to the heart. St. John Shaughnessy, in your parish profile, you have been clear about your intent. We welcome everyone and are enriched by the dynamic tension of differing beliefs. We embrace doubt, pray hopefully, and celebrate diversity. We practice our faith in everyday lives, are strongly committed to social justice, and believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform lives. Terry, this community has invited you to be clergy leader among them. Tonight, they are committing to work with you as disciples, as innovators, as agents of gospel change. And we who are witnesses will do all in our power to support this parish in its mission. We are all in. Progress for progress's sake may well be discouraged, but progress for the sake of the gospel is worth the cost. As Jesus says, those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Hold each other to this in love and truth. Amen.